Hey, good morning, Destiny.
Hello,
I'm
how are you?
doing well.
Good, good.
Hi, Laura. Oh, she went away.
Hi. Hi, Ken.
Good morning, all. Like everything else, I have a new pat not a new, but a sign-in password, and I can never remember it. I have a book of them.
Yes.
Morning, Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hello. Good to see you all.
Likewise.
You.
How are you, Laura?
Okay, I'm good. Yeah, thanks. How are you?
Doing pretty well. Pretty well on a Friday. This is the first week back to classes in person for me, so that
Oh, right. Yeah, how'd that go?
went well. It was good. I'm happy to be back. Got a little being at home. I mean, I'm
Yeah.
stuck most of the time, but yeah, it's been good.
Good.
See. How are you, Destiny?
Doing well. Sorry, my voice is a little crackly. But yeah, I'm doing great.
Good. Yeah, it's early.
Yeah, I mean, I've been up. I hit the gym early, but I don't know why. Maybe I haven't really been talkative yet today.
How about you, Cassie?
I'm good. I'm good. My sweet stepson was just here for the week and he just left for Ecuador. He graduated from college and he's got a one-way ticket to Ecuador, so just
Wow.
said goodbye to him really quickly.
One way. How long is he planning to stay?
A couple months, I think, at this point. He's gonna go live with the host family and try to learn Spanish. And
See.
awesome.
Nice. That's so exciting and scary and wonderful. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. He's a great guy.
That's so cool. Hi,
Welcome,
Joel.
Joel.
Hey, how you guys doing? Can you hear me?
Oh, good to see you. Stanley, look, we're all here.
Good to see you.
Yay. Nice to see a full slate. Hello, Aaron. I'll stop the banter.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Stanley? You're good too.
I'm good.
Good. All of you. So good to see your faces and to be together. Unfortunately, Steve is not going to join us. He has a little housing dealio that he has to deal with this morning. So we understand what that's like. And can you hear me okay? Just making sure. So. Well, without further ado, I guess we should start. And are there people in the waiting room, Aaron?
There are three attendees. It looks like Peter Finkel, Andy, and Gail are all here as members of the public. And when we get to that point, we can query them all and see if they want to speak.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Okay, I'm getting out my agenda here. So I guess we should just call the meeting to order. And the first thing I want to ask is, does anyone have any additions to the agenda at this point?
I'm not sure it's an addition, but I wanted to introduce a motion regarding connecting with liaison with the Schneider and the Ashland Arts. I get they're not a commission gallery. the Gallery Association. Okay. It is early for me.
Why don't we put that at the end part of our meeting when we're thinking?
Sure. I think it'll be quick.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Any other additions to the agenda?
I wanted to ask a question if we had our Parks and Rec person. Simply, but we don't. So
Jim doesn't appear to be here today.
Yeah. And I'll just ask it now. I would like to know what they think is the enthusiasm and appetite for moving forward on the MAP project number 2. And it's really just a pulse.
Okay. Well, why don't we just kind of talk about that towards the end of the meeting after we've kind of done our business?
Sure.
And we can have sort of a discussion on how to get that information or maybe where we go from here. So good question. Any other things we'd like to add? Okay. The minutes. Did anyone have a chance to take a look at them? I have a goofy correction. It's not a goofy correction. It's just a typo. Under goals and action items, I met and spoke with Ollie on October 7th, not 17th.
That connection, I was a part of that, and Jennifer does a great, great job. Perhaps 20 years of teaching is training.
So that's the only correction I have. Does anyone else have any corrections to the minutes or a motion?
I move that the minutes be approved as presented and corrected.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Great. Anyone opposed? I think that the minutes pass. Great. Okay, we are to public forum.
So, Andy, I've gone ahead and allowed you to speak if you would like to. Andy, did you want to speak at public forum? All right.
He's getting coffee.
Yeah. Okay, moving on to Gail. Gail, are you here to speak on public forum? I've allowed you to go ahead and unmute your mic and speak if you'd like.
No, I'm a new resident in Ashland, and I used to be on a commission in Culver City, so I'm just curious to see what you guys are all about.
Sounds great. Sounds great. Thank you for attending.
Sure.
Welcome to Ashland.
And Peter, are you here just attending today, or do you want to speak to the commission?
I will just say that I'm excited about the enthusiasm that I'm seeing amongst the Public Arts Commission members in the last few months. And I'm available to help out in any way I can. And I'm here to see how things move forward today.
All right. Well, thank you, Peter. And Andy, one more chance for you. If you're sitting there, you can go ahead and unmute and speak if you'd like. All right. Hearing no response, I think we've covered that.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Thanks, Aaron, for doing that. So now we're to liaison reports. Why don't we start, obviously, with you, Aaron. And maybe if you know of anything that you think Stephen might have presented to us, you can catch us up on what he would have said.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about that as the meeting was starting. I don't know how many of you make it your business to watch council meetings. In terms of big news of the city, we recently appointed a new city attorney, Katrina Brown, who was previously the assistant city attorney, was interviewed with another candidate. I believe there was only one other applicant. The other applicant didn't have municipal experience, and after consideration of the candidates, she was appointed and confirmed by council. The position of director of finance is still in the recruitment process. I know they've received number of applicants. Similarly, the city administrator position is still going through the recruitment process. I'm going off the top of my head. I believe Gary reported that they had received 12 or 13 applicants for that position. And at the upcoming council meeting, there's going to be an executive session where they discuss that. Executive sessions are private, so we know that it's going on, but we aren't able to have insight into that. The other thing that continues to go on is the series of study sessions where the council has been digging into the general fund. First, it was a meeting that focused on parks, then police, then fire, and the upcoming study session on Monday of next week will be focusing on the general fund minus fire, police, and parks, which is basically admin, community development. I believe the court, there's some other elements that are included in there as well. So that's what the upcoming study session will be about. And then there's one after that, maybe two after that, that are going to focus on potential revenue sources and priorities. So they're still in that process of going through these study sessions before the formal budget process starts. We are still in pretty staunch COVID stance. Many city employees, including myself, continue to work remotely. All city buildings are still closed to the public. And I don't have visibility into when that's going to change. So this continues to be our normal. In terms of other updates, I guess the Jennifer, do you want me to cover the update from Masterworks now or later in the agenda?
Let's wait. Cover them up.
Terrific. Well, then that's really the sum of what I would have to share right now.
Okay, great. Ken, you have a question?
Well, just an observation. I really liked your phraseology when you said the city council is going to dig into the reserves.
They definitely are. Other comments or questions that people might have? All right. Well, we do have a slim liaison report. Thank you, Aaron, for doing that. I guess this is the point where it's unfortunate that we haven't seen Jim here for a while. And I keep emailing him to ask questions and not receive a response. So we will just continue to keep trying to see who we can contact. Maybe I'll ask Mike Gardner. Is Mike Gardner the chair? I haven't wanted to bother Mike Gardner, but maybe it's time.
He's the chair. That's correct.
Just to get some updates. And if any of you have questions that you want me to forward to them, just send them to me and I'll ask. But I'm having little luck as well. Any other questions about liaisons? Oh, I would like, I was just going to have Joel introduce himself. I don't see him on the screen. He might have popped off. When Joel comes back, we'll take a moment to have him tell us a little bit about himself. Maybe he's just temporarily fallen off. And that's going to, oh, here he comes. Just in time. We'll wait a minute. Welcome back, Joel.
Sorry, Wi-Fi went out for a sec.
Not a problem. You're just in time. I was hoping that you could just tell the commission and anyone who's listening a little bit about yourself. They might not know who you are or why maybe you are interested or a part of our commission. So give us a little bio.
Sure. Yeah, I was born and raised here, actually from Rogue River, but I went to high school in Medford. And then I've been gone for, 10, 12 years, mostly down in the Bay Area. But I taught painting and drawing at UC Santa Cruz. And then I taught ceramics at Mills College, where I also went to grad school. And then now I've been working as a 3D designer for lots of architecture firms and engineering firms. And I just moved back here because of COVID. My job went remote, so I was like, I'm coming home. So came back here, and I was very involved. I've been an exhibiting artist all throughout the Bay Area and other places, and I was involved with the arts community down in the Bay Area as well. So when I got here, I wanted to find out what was going on and join the commission. So
great. Thank you for yourself. Stanley, you have something you want to say?
No. But welcome, Joel.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm happy to finally be here. Yeah.
Yeah. We appreciate I was blanked out because I was eating breakfast. Sorry. You don't want to watch me eat.
Welcome, Joel. Welcome for being here. Your resume is impressive, and it's really cool that you're all of the different backgrounds you have related to art. So I'm glad you're a part of us. And Thank you.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Cool. So with that said, let's go into the next part of our agenda. And the first thing I have on the agenda, I mean, this agenda is pretty skeleton, right? And we're continuing to be in a lot of waiting games right now, and that's all right. So we have Say Their Names Coalition, of which, surprisingly, usually I hear about once a month, but I haven't. Maybe, Cassie, you might know more than me. You tend to be more on the pulse of what's happening. I'm assuming it's just still in the selection phase. And Joel, let me just catch you up with the Say Their Names Coalition really briefly. This is a group of citizens who are working together, and they have created a panel to select a work that relates to BIPOC community, and specifically to in response to Ashland's Say Their Names Along the Railroad. I think at this point it's still in selection and in location decision mode. Cassie, do you wish to add to that?
Yeah. I think this project is specifically focusing on the Black community and solidarity to the Black community. And Jessica was out of town for a few weeks this month. And she's really the one who's spearheading this whole thing. And Jessica Friedman, for those who don't know, is part of BASE, which is a local Black-led organization. And she was just, I actually don't know what happened, but I do know that the two artists were presenting to the Parks and Rec Commission this last Wednesday evening. So 2 days ago, they were presenting their selection for their location in town. And I'm sorry, I actually don't even know which spots they selected. So it would be interesting to look at those notes and see what their presentations were. And I think that probably whatever data they gathered from those presentations will help them to formulate their presentation for all of us. So I think that's another step forward in their process. That we'll just wait and see what happens. And that's all I know.
Great.
I've got a question. I was down there the other day, and I noticed that the T-shirts and the shirts are pretty badly faded. And I think they're getting worse. I'm wondering, is that of concern to any of the groups you're working with? Or is it going to get to the point where the consensus is to take it down? Maybe that happens after the new site is. But it's just looking a little dog-eared, that's all.
Uh-huh. And honestly, Stanley, I'm in school full time taking 20 credits, and I've kind of stepped a little bit back from being involved and just on the periphery of the group. So I'm not exactly, I honestly don't have an answer for you. Yeah.
So maybe, Aaron, do you have access to Parks and Rec's minutes? Once they're approved, they might have an update.
Access to them in exactly the same manner that you do.
We do.
Which is that they're available on the city's website.
Right. That might contain this information about where they stand.
Right. I feel as though their minutes, or whenever I go to search, they're just not quite caught up to what I need to read.
Right.
So I haven't been able to find this information. It's a little more than I realized. So I'll keep checking the website and looking for the minutes. It just seems to be slow in showing up.
So this was maybe 2 days ago Wednesday. So to me, I feel like I will check all next month and it'll take me to the next meeting before I sometimes learn. Right. I'm not that lucky. So this is where I feel like I'm always a little behind. I guess I could have known to have gone to that meeting had maybe my liaison, I will work it out. It'll all work out. Thanks for the update. And at the same time, it's just good to hear. I mean, it's not to the point where it's come to our committee yet anyway. So we're still waiting for their process to go through. Yes, Stanley.
Yeah, I just wanted to let the Arts Commission know that early last summer I did document the Say Your Names. I'm really good at stitching photographs. That's what I do in my own artwork. And I took a photo every 6 feet along the entire thing, the entire length of the thing and the piece of art. And I did stitch those together into one giant sort of continuous documentation, really, of the sculpture. And I have that file. I think I sent it to you, Cassie, as well. But I have that file, and, you know, I think it should be, I'm willing to donate it, or if the city's got a repository for documenting artwork. It's a huge file. It's, in fact, I actually couldn't even open it in Photoshop. It's so big, but I can res it down into a smaller one. Anyway, it exists. And if anybody has any ideas, how to officially sort of give it to the city for documentation purposes, I'm certainly willing to do that.
Stanley, are you talking about the original Say Their Names, or do you see
The original, the t-shirts, yes.
Well, they're all t-shirts. I mean, the one that was first put up before it was vandalized versus now.
It was, I'm trying to remember the date that I did it. I think it was early summer, so I'm not really sure which version that is.
It was a year into it. So it is the most recent version, although there might be new shirts since then or new editions since then.
Okay. Well, thank you, Stanley. I don't, that'll be funny. Perhaps even if it can be in the 6 foot file size rather than the whole file size, but that's more doable or realistic. Though, I'm going to leave it at that. That's an interesting discussion. And if that happens, great. I don't know if we can endorse it or how we would. It might be a part of perhaps the ending celebratory announcement and collection for this new work to accompany.
Sure. And I'm willing to give up any rights to it. It's the city's as far as I'm concerned. So
thank you, Stanley. Any other questions related to the Say Their Names Coalition? Aaron, do you have anything to say from a city's perspective, or?
I do not know.
Anyone else? All right. Great. Thanks for the update, Cassie. And I'm looking forward to seeing how it goes. And good luck on 20 credits. That's tough.
Wow. Or crazy. Thank you.
Okay, so now we're coming to some updates on some of our projects that are, once again, we're kind of in the middle of. First one is the Hub artwork. Aaron and I, was that 2 days ago? On Wednesday, we sat down in a Zoom meeting with Jennifer and talked about the sculpture at hand that we're waiting for at the Railroad Park. And so the status at this point is that Jennifer has submitted to Aaron. Maybe you can describe, Aaron, what was just submitted to you, because to me it was, as a layperson, all very complicated. It is the engineering packet. So go ahead, Aaron. You can tell us where we are with that.
Yeah. So my background, for those of you who are newer to the commission, just to give you background, I've been with the city for about 2.5 years. So the previous large-scale art installations, the most recent being Velocity, is before my tenure. So I only have partial insight into that as examples for the process. Apparently, during Velocity, Public Works was integral in reviewing the engineering information for its installation. But since Velocity's installation, we've had turnover in Public Works. We have a different director of Public Works. And so there's different decision makers. It's unclear to me at this point if Public Works necessarily is going to require reviewing the engineering. I looked at it. I have a couple of questions for David personally. But I think the city's position is going to be that if ultimately the engineering calculations come with a stamp of an engineer who's licensed in the state of Oregon, that in combination with the liability and professional insurance that the artists are required to carry is sufficient. So I don't think we're necessarily going to go through a process of the Public Works Department independently checking the engineering on this. And I guess that would be about all I have to say. Do you want me to talk a little bit about the concrete?
Yeah, that would be.
Okay. So among the details in these engineering drawings includes the concrete footing, which is, 4 feet by 3 feet of a given thickness with a certain amount of rebar. And it's going to have bolts cast into it so that the mounting bracket ultimately goes onto those bolts and is received. So the question was about hiring a concrete vendor. Can they hire a concrete vendor? Do they need to be a general contractor to hire a concrete vendor? I had a conversation with Public Works earlier this week, mainly as part of a conversation about the installation of the medallions. I'll be giving an update on that later. But because I was having a conversation with Mike Morrison in Public Works that was involving concrete, we also talked about the footing for the sculpture. He confirmed that there's no requirement in the state of Oregon to be a general contractor to hire a concrete vendor. Any one of us could pick up the phone and hire a concrete vendor to do a concrete pour. And apparently the city is not exactly known to get the best prices. While concrete vendors will compete with each other to get a bid of the city's business, there are requirements that they show that they're, for instance, paying prevailing wages, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so there are certain requirements to meeting city procurement reasons that the numbers that the city gets for a concrete package is going to be more expensive generally than if Joe Blow picks up the phone and says, I need the same concrete poured. So that is what I learned from Mike. I haven't yet had a chance to report any of that back to Corio and Dave. And I think that's about all I have to say on that.
Yeah, great. So so Jennifer and Dave had come to us with the concern of not being able to, well, there's a few concerns in our time, COVID time, that prices and contracting, A, prices have gone up for materials, and B, contracting is pushed out. So that's always a challenge as well. They also were trying to negotiate with us or understand their positionality and who pays for this pour. From what I understand, Aaron said this is really on your this is on the artist's dollar. Though, you want to add to that?
Yeah, the only place where I would add to that is, yes, the installation, I feel confident, is on them. But the final landscaping and whatnot, that was always understood that the city was going to take care of. So those sort of final details are going to be, as Jennifer Corio put it, sort of the messy middle. You know, we have an understanding that Parks was going to handle the installation of the conduit and the associated trenching. So, you know, those conversations are starting, and it's going to be a process as we move forward.
Yeah. So we're in the middle of negotiating this, and at the same time, so they are hammering out this contract, working with their engineer, and so they're about to create and start fabricating, is my understanding. Waiting for these, so we're still pre-fabrication happening with Jennifer. So I really do anticipate this taking us definitely into a few more months. The other thing that Jennifer and Dave talked about was, once again, just sort of solidifying, and to me it sounds like it's been solidified very, very much. So the language for the medallion, of which they had, they have a deep relationship, a really respectful relationship with the scholar in Chinese language, also with Mei Wen Rogers, Richards, who lives in Chinatown, with just sort of doing the proper language and giving it respect. And they showed, Aaron and I got to see the calligraphy form that they're using is traditional, yet it also is an artistic calligraphy form. It's beautiful. I imagine we will see that soon. You all will see that soon. And I just wanted to tell you that the characters are spelling this statement. Today we offer our belated gratitude and sadness is what they came to. And if that doesn't make sense to you all who are new, of course, this is a work that is honoring the Chinese workers who worked tirelessly and also oftentimes unfairly on the railroad in our region. And so it's a really special phrase that will be both in English and in Chinese on the spike. So that is coming along. And I think that at this point I don't know, Aaron, if they're allowed, if the counselor or the commissioners are allowed to see the paperwork that you just received. I mean, if they want to see it, oh, which is hearing.
Yeah, I'm more than happy to send it out. I mean, it's a fairly large package, including the engineering calculations. But if you all want to receive a 25 megabyte email, I'm more than happy to send that out.
I just think sometimes for people to realize the complexities to this process.
Sure.
I don't
know. I'd like to see it.
Yeah, I think I'm
curious.
Right. I mean, I have no expertise, but once again, that really reinforces the importance of the artist and who the artist is working with. And I think it's good to have everyone see the background, the magical backside of the process. And we're working to, Aaron, can you explain the permit part of this? Jennifer mentioned permitting, and I'm pretty new here, and I think other people here are new. What did she mean by that? That she was,
you know, I think a lot of cities probably have excavation permits and those sort of things. There's going to be an electrical permit for the installation of that circuit. As far as other permits as issued by the city, I've already talked to the building department. It meets an exemption from the building department. So, you know, in some cities, the building department would be interested in issuing a permit for that. In this case, the building official said, no, it meets an exemption in the code. Which goes back to the engineering that they're providing. So aside from the electrical permit, that may be the only permit that is issued for the installation of the sculpture.
Okay, great. I just wanted to make sure I understood and if anyone else had questions as well. So yeah, we're kind of in that site prep fabrication, starting concrete contractor searching position. Do you all have any questions for the hub sculpture? Anything you wish to ask or? Okay, thank you. Okay, and with that said, the other thing we were starting to have a dialogue on was plaquing or creating a plaque for this sculpture. Last time we got together, and I think that maybe Stanley and Aaron were perhaps going to think about this. Did you have a chance, Stanley and Aaron, to discuss plaques?
I did a little bit of research. And just if you search for custom plaques on the internet, there's a bunch of companies that offer those services. I did a couple of real quick, you know, guess an average size, X number of text. And between $300 to $500 was what I found in the half hour of Googling that I spent. So that's about all I have to tell you. I don't know if Stanley did anything else.
We can't hear you, Stanley.
Yeah, I didn't really look very deeply. I you know, just Googled a few, and I found pretty much what Aaron said. It's not going to be a big expense. I think our biggest challenge is to decide what we want it to look like. You know, I'm not sure we have consensus that we want to move away from just the standard bronze plaque that seems to be everywhere. And if we don't, we should just get one of those. But it's a discussion point, I guess.
All right. And I guess the question is, do we want to have that discussion now? I mean, I guess we have time to discuss it at the next meeting. I mean, but what I think we should do is ultimately decide and kind of at least have a placeholder and an idea before we go further. Any thoughts around that? Right. Ken?
I was in Florence looking at their public art this past week, and sterility of a plaque that has a name on it is to me like having a slide in a presentation of a horse and the words underneath are, "This is a horse." Sarcastically to say, I think it deserves some explanation. And so I've seen aluminum backed plaques that have in enamel, I think it is, a brief description of what it's about. And to me, that context is particularly important for this hub installation. If somebody takes the time to read what's on the golden spike, they might get it, and then looked at all the five or four concrete medallions. But I think that there's a piece of coherent explanation that needs to go in there. So when we get to that discussion, I'd reiterate that, which means then we have to look at the question about plaques for other works. I feel the same thing about Velocity, but I'm late to the party. So anyway, that's observation.
Thanks. Stanley?
Yeah. Coming from the museum world, I'm really familiar with the range of plaques. I mean, most pieces in museums and even public art, they often just have a plaque that displays tombstone metadata, the artist, the date, the title. But that said, in a lot of exhibitions, there are usually key pieces that require a little bit more of a narrative. And since this sculpture is standing on its own, and it's not abundantly clear what the purpose is, you know, I think I agree with Ken that we need some kind of narrative on the plaque, maybe a really succinct paragraph about the artist's intention and why the city thought that it would be important to put it there. So, I mean, that's my two cents. As far as how the plaque looks, you know, I think it's something a little bit cleaner than a bronze plaque. Bronze plaques are hard to read because there's no contrast. I've seen a lot of outdoor sculptures that have a really good big stainless steel plate that is etched, and often the etching is blackened on the inside, so you can read it at a distance. You know, that would be where I would want to start to put it together.
Great, Stanley, thank you. Other thoughts?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think it's nice to have an explanation of an artwork. I'm not sure if it's a requisite to like know why the city chose it, but maybe if there's like a statement from the artist and what their intent was behind the work. And then I don't know if you guys know Braille Metals in out by the airport, but I work with them a lot, and they've done a lot of stainless steel engraving stuff, and I think that is a super clean look. So I don't know if we're the ones slated to design and build this, but I work with those guys a lot if we do have text that we just want to get engraved. And they do powder coating and all that kind of stuff. So if we wanted to contrast it with some black or something like that, they can easily do that. So again, if we're slated to do that, I can definitely send those files over to those guys to do it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is up to us.
Okay.
So, yeah. And then there's always the question of font and size. You know, there's all sorts of details. So
yeah.
Great. Other thoughts?
So yeah, go ahead.
Aaron? Yeah, I was just going to add, you know, as I'm hearing this dialogue, there's, you know, one lump of work of figuring out size, font, character, etc. That's a project in and of itself. And then also, what does it say? And I could see what does it say taking a long time. But that work doesn't necessarily all need to happen in this form. If a couple of commissioners wanted to work on that and collaborate, that's the type of project that is great for a couple of commissioners to take and run with. So sorry if that's out of line to add, but I just wanted to throw that in there.
Right. Absolutely. And the other, I just hearing you all talk, there's a few questions I have. So maybe we're going to go away from, say, the tombstone style, but there's a few things here. So we have an artwork that we want to identify. And also, it may be a part of a larger, this gets more complicated, a larger historical document, which is hub and map. So this is the beginning of perhaps other sculptures in other parts of Ashland. Like this is the number one, but there might be a number 2-1. So my question is, it's a lot of questions. My question is, do we identify the sculpture with some identifying tombstone style with then a secondary something that has more information, like a secondary steel plaque that maybe accompanies the concept of map with that information, or are they just combined into one? And if they're combined into one, the other parts of the thing is, where does it go?
Right.
I'm always one who doesn't want the artwork, this is just me personally, to really be like over usurped by that information. So where is that information? That's why, to me, like having the tombstone and then going next to it to look at this information. So then it goes to, well, where are we allowed to put it? How much more money does it cost to put that information if it's not within the structural space? Those are all part of this. At least that's what I see. We would have to make that decision as well. Any thoughts on that?
And another consideration is a lot of these outdoor plaques will have a braille plaque, which, you know, I think would be a nice thing to do. It's a little bit of a head scratcher because blind people can't see the sculpture, but sometimes a braille piece helps. I've even seen installations that have a sort of relief of the contours of the sculpture that somebody whose vision challenged can sort of feel this sculpture to determine how it might look. So, I mean, we're getting more and more complicated as we add those things, but it's a consideration. I don't know.
Right. And do we enter the 21st century and include a QR code, or right, you know, that then eventually would lead us to information on the whole map project itself? Ken?
No, I was just clearing my throat. My sense is we need a project, as Aaron suggests, and volunteers are probably
right. I agree.
They're all moving out of the way or stepping forward.
Cassie, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I agree totally, Ken. And I was going to bring up the QR code as well, because it seems like you can put a lot more information there. And Peter, I was just going to bring into Peter Finkel just wrote to us in the chat, remember that there will be a website with information about the 5 historic plaques in the Railroad District Map Project. I would expect that the hub sculpture would also tie into the same website. So Peter is thinking similarly about finding location, it sounds like, in a online platform to expand on all of this. So,
right. That brings us to another discussion. Who's making that website, or how will that website be? So, yes, many exciting things to think about. Stanley.
Yeah. Thanks to COVID, QR codes are coming back. Most restaurants have their menu via a QR code. There was a time a few years ago when they were kind of going away. So I wouldn't endorse Peter's emphasis on somehow incorporating a QR code. There's lots of people who don't use them, though. So there needs to be something on site. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. This would be only a side. I'm going to let you talk in a minute, Erin. Let me get Laura's thoughts, though. Laura?
Well, I think the QR code would be really great in terms of accessibility. I know that if a person with a disability might have something on their phone with being able to read a QR code and learning about the piece based on what app or whatever it is they have to talk to them, or some certain, like a magnification other than Braille, if they're more inclined to use that type of an accessibility tool. So I think that would be really nice to see. And I wanted to agree with Stanley in terms of, and the other people that said, having a description, of course, you know, having some people volunteer to come up with that is a big deal, but describing it and more than just the tombstone information would be, I think, wonderful. And then that also, though, as you brought up, does that then mean that, is this unique to this sculpture, or is this going to be something that has to be similar to other things that are going to then happen down the road, or draw from other things like the bronze plaques? Will it be distinct from that? You know, there's all those discussions that I was thinking about. I've done a lot of plaques on a lot of buildings with my profession, and there's a couple that come to mind, businesses that are local that would be nice to use, but anyway, it might be nice to use a local business, like maybe Joel had suggested.
Yeah.
I'm all for local business. Yes, I agree. Erin, I know that you had your hand up.
Yeah, I just wanted to add real briefly, during the design work on the medallions, there had been discussion about QR codes and concern about that in the bronze. Because of contrast, like Stanley just said. But a good example that I saw recently is the DeBoer House across from Lithia Park. And I don't know if anyone's noticed it, but they put little plaques that I believe were laser etched with QR codes so that you can investigate what some of those plants are. And I was really skeptical that they would work because of their size. But it's a great example of someone who's done it. I don't know who made those plaques, but I would encourage everyone to take a look at that if that's something you're thinking about in the future.
Where exactly are those, Erin?
So the DeBoer House is that giant house across from Lithia Park.
Oh, and yeah. Right.
Along the landscaping, there are little plaques about 2 inches by 4 inches next to many of the significant plants, and it invites you to scan the code and you get more information about those plants.
Cool.
Laura.
I believe we had talked about this in a previous meeting, because I had taken pictures of those and talked about it when a discussion with Peter about identifying different works of art. So I have on my phone, I have those pictures of those little plaques. And when I find them, Erin, I can send them to you. You can send them to everyone, maybe. Or I can, actually, I have something else. I can send them to you if you're interested in seeing them. Sorry, Erin, give you more to do. I'll send, when I find them, if anyone's interested, I can show you guys what we're talking about.
Sounds good. Thank you. So I think we're having a robust conversation, and I somewhat agree with Erin that it would be great if there were a couple of people who wanted to perhaps think about these issues or research them further and maybe come with a plan or an idea.
is anyone interested in taking on this project? Joel?
I can, yeah.
Okay. Great. Good to have a person to work with. Anyone else wish to work with Joel?
I can, too, as well. I'll help you out, Joel.
Ken raised his hand.
All right.
Me, Ken, and Joel. Sounds good. Great. So, you know, I'm going to kind of put my trust in you, and actually we all are, and kind of see what you guys come up with. And, yeah, I'm excited to see what ideas you bring forth. And if you ever have questions, ask me. Aaron's also so fast at, like, budget types of questions, or if you're like, okay, but just hearing what you all think of and maybe design or think about would be great.
Do we have a summary either from us or the artist that talks about this sculpture? I mean, I think these guys need a place to start when, you know, putting this narrative together. Is that available somewhere?
That is a great question. I was thinking about that as we've been speaking. I mean, I have the application. And I imagine maybe the artist might have a more, they might want to edit that summary. Aaron.
So the presentation that they gave to council includes their intention and all of that. And I'm more than happy to forward that to Joel if you would like me to.
Sounds great. How about if you forward that to everyone so that Destiny and Kendall can also see it? And actually, I'd just like to have it in my email again, too. It would be great. So then now, yes, now we can look at the artist's intent. You can see, is this realistic? Is it too long? Is it short? Do you know? And then we can start from there. Perfect. Thank you so much. Any other questions or comments related to that plaque?
I do see that Peter put a comment in the chat. He says, I hope you don't mind me adding a comment at the MAP subcommittee, which I was a part of, and Peter was on that as well. It was decided to include the website link at the bottom of each sidewalk plaque rather than use a QR code. And I think, as my memory was, we were concerned about contrast issues with the bronze. So I don't know if that's still an issue. I think it would be less of an issue if we made these plaques out of something like stainless steel. No.
Okay, good point. So let's add to the minutes the suggestion of a QR code, but I do agree that there's nothing wrong with also and or adding a website.
Yeah.
And that does bring me to that other conundrum. What website is this? What QR code? Where are we directing these people? So Aaron.
So the designs are literally already cast in metal. And what it says is ashland.or.us/historic, I believe. So that's the website that Peter's referring to. It hasn't been populated yet. It's a URL that will take you to the historic page of the city's website. And what is going to eventually manifest there has yet to be created.
Okay. And is that something that's being created by the Historic Commission? Okay. Well, it's good to know that we have no choice. We have a URL. So now it's an interesting thing. I guess there needs to be a dialogue with Historic Commission, Public Arts Commission, about what's going to be there and something needing to be there when these are released. So good. I'm going to put that on my list here. And good point. Other thoughts before we move on?
So, Joel, let's get together with at least emails and start scoping out how to proceed.
Yeah, definitely. And Destiny as well. Okay. I'm new to all this, so I'll be slow to understand what's going on, but I'll backtrack and find out what things are about. But definitely, yeah, I know. You know, once we figure out what's going on with this, I know how to get it built, stainless steel or otherwise or whatever, so we can organize all that.
Great. And so whatever was approved by the MAP commission the MAP committee to go on that website. Now the question will be, whatever that information is, who is putting it up? Who is the master of that site? Whose purview, who will be doing that? So Aaron, I'll work with you we can kind of start exploring who's in charge of that. Okay. Anything more? Okay, thank you. Oh, so good, so exciting. It's good to have these talks now rather than later. So I'm glad we're fleshing it out. Number two, work plan in the works, the AHS mural. I am assuming and hoping that you've been by to see the activity happening there. It is coming along. I am not sure if everyone here knows about the vandalism that took place on the mural. And that's really unfortunate to have seen. And just to make sure that anyone in the public place knows what's happening. So let me just give a quick update. So we have a mural that's being painted at AHS, and this mural is celebrating the BIPOC community and local activists within our community, also honoring a student who had lost their life last year. We're coming up on the anniversary of their death, and that's Aiden Ellison. In fact, it is hoped and planned, and it's still my understanding that the celebration of this mural will take place on the anniversary of Aiden Ellison's death, which is November 23rd. I'm hoping that you all might be able to celebrate with us/them. But unfortunately, there was a vandalism to the mural. And from what I see and understand looking at the mural now, they've done an excellent job of moving through, correcting, and making the mural look great, and continuing to work on it. Conquering the vandalism that they saw. And I think they're on track to keep finishing and to keep the mural going. And of course, once we get the mural done and an application of non-vandal or vandal-proof coating goes on, that'll be great. That is all I really have. I know that they're in the works and that they're plugging along. Any questions, comments that you all might have?
Yeah, it's just perils of public art. It will always be there. You know, people think the money should be spent in a better way. When I lived in Bellingham, there was this spectacular Noguchi sculpture in the middle of the campus called Sky Viewing Sculpture. It was just beautiful and everybody loved it. And it got severely vandalized once. And what they wrote on this was, this could have been childcare. Mm. That was their message. Only could was spelled C-O-U-D. So there you go.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. I am not exactly sure who vandalized this sculpture or why. But it does reinforce the fact that we as a city and a community need to celebrate and honor BIPOC community and see these projects through. I'm hopeful that the students and community workers still working on this are feeling hopeful that they'll get it done. Any other comments or thoughts? Yes, Ken.
It's sort of obvious. I think we need to incorporate it in our general consideration the potential for vandalism. As Stanley points out, it's going to happen. I'm anticipating that as a problem for the Say Their Names project.
Yep.
In whatever fashion. Anyway, if we give some advanced thought to it, maybe we can forestall some of it. I don't have any solutions, but I just think it is awareness of the time we live in.
Right. Well, in our criteria, if you were to look at the Public Arts Commission criteria, that is a consideration that we and or panelists do consider how when a work is put up or created or in that process, that we are definitely considering its position, can it be utilized, is it safe to all people, so I think it's always part of the dialogue. We do definitely need to consider how to protect our work. Any more that you wish to add? It's a very good point, Ken, and we'll continue to have those dialogues. All right, great. You're on to project updates, and Aaron, I'm going to let you tell us. I know that our masterwork plaques are on the way, almost.
So almost. It occurs to me, has anyone here not seen the final designs for the medallions? I assume there's a couple of hands. Okay. It's also a rather large file, but if everyone is okay with that, I can send that out after the meeting. I think everyone should see what those look like. For those of you who don't know, I'll go backwards a little bit. Masterworks was the vendor that we selected from the outset for this project. It didn't go out to a bid because they were so impressed with their product that we got permission to do sole procurement with this company. And they've been great through the whole process. And when I stop and I think about what we're paying for the amount of effort they've put into it, it seems remarkably inexpensive. The last time I gave you guys an update, we were 4 to 6 weeks away from shipping. There had been a problem with one of the castings. I got an email from Jennifer, and if you'll bear with me, I'm just going to read basically a paragraph to you. It says, we ended up having to remake an additional pattern. After the fourth casting was remade, we discovered upon its inspection that the workers must have also damaged its casting pattern, and it went unnoticed. So at this point, we stand at 3 completed raw castings and 2 remade patterns that the foundry manager has promised to put to the front of the line for production. Once these final 2 castings are complete, all 5 will go to our patina artists as discussed for finishing. The finishing process only takes a week. So we don't have a final schedule yet, but it feels like we're probably shipping in 4 to 6 weeks. With that, I started a dialogue with Mike Morrison, as I mentioned sort of briefly earlier. And the conversation was again, sort of, what are the next steps? I mean, I work in city planning. I don't do a lot of concrete work. And so after discussing it, Public Works is more or less going to go ahead and take the lead on basically receiving these and then installation. Now, that's going to mean Public Works will probably do the excavation work themselves and contract out the concrete work. This, of course, led to the question of what's the budget and who's paying for it. This is the sort of challenge that we're going to have going forward with the loss of the institutional knowledge, because Adam Hanks really was the guy that shepherded a lot of this and handled a lot of the financing behind the scenes. For example, as you guys know, there's a public art budget, and then there's other TOT funds that are restricted in ways that aren't necessarily ours. And Ken, like I explained to you in that email, it's not really ours to get into those weeds. And, you know, my understanding was that Adam's intention, as I understood it, was that concrete work was going to just happen in due process, probably coming out of our funds in part, and probably partly out of other restricted TOT funds. I'm speculating on that a little bit. Again, with Adam's departure, a lot of that's a big question mark. And one of the things that's on my to-do list today is following up from that conversation that I had yesterday to get that up the flagpole, because that's going to need to go through my superiors over to admin. And more or less, I guess what I want to let you know is they're going to get in the ground. It's going to be managed by Public Works. And as far as what it's going to cost and where that money is going to come from, we're probably not going to have a lot of visibility into that. But I'm confident that we're going to get it done. As far as receiving them goes, they're going to ship to the North Mountain property where Public Works has their depot. Upon receipt, it's important to me that myself and someone else from the commission, Jennifer, perhaps you, perhaps one of the other commissioners, I want to make sure we do an inspection upon receipt, because that's going to be an important thing. Because it's likely where we are on the timeline that they may sit in a warehouse there for a period of time, because as Mike pointed out, November, December, not the best time to be pouring concrete. So we may end up, you know, facing weather. The other consideration is that a couple of the adjacent property owners during the run-up to this, I believe the property owner of what was formerly Hoskins Garage, tell me if I got that wrong, had a concern about how the impacts to their business might be when the sidewalks tore up. And so my involvement is going to be acting as a liaison between Public Works and those adjacent property owners and trying to figure out how that works. I don't have insight necessarily into, I mean, I can imagine that these all may need to happen on the same day due to, you know, there's, as I understand it, you know, there's an element of you're getting the concrete pour and can you do it now? And so as we move forward, I'll report to you what I know, but it's really going to be led by Public Works and I'm going to be helping liaising with the property owners. That's about all I have to say, and I'll take any questions you guys might have.
Questions? Ken?
Erin, does that mean it's, I can't remember her name. It starts with an S there at Hoskins Garage. As I understand it from conversation with Andy, the plaque is supposed to go in front of her entry door, her garage door entry door. It's a secondhand, it's not a secondhand place, but it, she did, anyway. Will somebody specifically talk with her? And either you or one of us, I guess, could do that.
That's exactly right. And whether that's me or whether that's one of you, you know, that's, there are questions to be answered moving forward.
And then the other point was Dale of the Historic Society was pretty involved in all of this. And I'm wondering if for the good of bringing them along and working together, we need somebody from the Historical Society to join you and Jennifer in approving the plaques, just so they're in the process.
Historically, Erin, what's going on with their involvement as far as Historical Society and these plaques?
Okay, so now we're talking about plaques. I thought we were talking about the five medallions.
I'm talking about the five medallions. I'm sorry, I used the wrong word. Anyway, when they arrive, they ought to be inspected by both commissions so that we're all of a piece going forward.
Yeah, my boss is the staff liaison to the Historic Commission. I'm sure we'll make sure that we get them involved. Dale, as I understand it, is no longer the chair, so
Correct. It
might be someone else. But I'll work, of course, with Maria to make sure that we have appropriate cross connections there.
Perfect.
I agree. Thank you, Ken. So, yes, whoever it is, from what I understand, it would be good to have someone from the Historic to meet, and I'm happy to meet with you, Erin, and so
one further footnote is we're all going to want to, I think we're all going to want to go see them, so we don't want to have a quorum at the time we inspect them, but.
Right. I mean, it might be that we'll just do the preliminary and we'll have to think about that.
We'll sell tickets for fundraising.
This kind of understanding you, Erin, this is going to happen. We're not sure of when, and the logistics are making sure we have a good relationship with the businesses and spaces where these, where concrete pads have to be prepped and poured, and these installations have to take place. So I'm all for being helpful in any way that you need. Any other questions or comments?
I would just add one thing if I could. To Ken's point, if the commission so desires, having an extra, our requirement to notice a public meeting is pretty thin. We just need to put it on the website. So once they arrive, if the commission so desires that we all want to have a special meeting to go and see these in person, that's not beyond the realm of possibility. I would just need to coordinate with Public Works and get it advertised on the website.
Okay, cool. Well, that'd be fun to see them together. So, we'll see how we can do when that happens. Okay, thank you. Any other questions or comments related to the, not plaques, but medallions? I'm going to change that word there. Okay, great. We're going to move on to sort of some things we've been working on. And I know that our one of our really desired goals is to connect with the community. And we've been doing that in different ways. And a few of us were sort of having small groups to think about some things. And I just wanted to see where we were. First off, let's see. Number one, the power of public art. For those like Joel, you're new. I'm not sure if you saw it, but just to give you historical background, there's a video that was created by the past commissioners that's called The Power of Public Art, and it takes you through a 23-minute odyssey of wonderful examples of public art around the world, also incorporating a few of Ashland's own works, and taking the person who views the video into why public art is important, how it touches community, how it asks questions, and so forth. So I kind of made a point to maybe honor this presentation and take it out to communities. And I gave an Ollie presentation. Kendall accompanied me and was great at asking questions and being a helpful commissioner as well. So thank you, Ken. And I'm also going to be seeing the Soroptimus Club in November. Just so you know, we are working to get this information at least out to our locals. I do have a dilemma. Like the Kiwanis Club meets on a Tuesday at noon, and they're meeting in person at the Elks Club. I'm working, I'm teaching, so I can't do that. But if anyone else wishes to present to the Kiwanis, they have to be willing to be in person. B, I think that you would need to either work with the Kiwanis to have your laptop, or maybe they would have their laptop and be able to play the video. So you would.
What's the spelling on that? I'm sorry. What's the spelling? Oh, no. Fuck.
Yes, I'm.
Oh, hello, Aaron.
Sorry, my entire internet crashed. I wasn't sure if the meeting would all come back or not. That was really bad timing.
That's all right. Look, we're all here. It's still here.
I was just asking when we shut down what the spelling for Kiwanis was, please.
Oh. I believe it's K-I-W-A-N-A-S. Am I correct? Is anyone?
Thank you.
So if anyone's interested in perhaps doing these presentations, let me know, and I will have you talk with the Kiwanis. And that's all I have to say about that. The next question, and this definitely continues to be an interesting one, is just we don't need the answers today, but the public art platform. We have a platform in place. But there has been discussion of changing it, and I don't know if we wish to talk now or maybe keep pushing that. I wanted to at least open it up for any dialogue that may have happened by you all.
Could you say a little bit more about that? As a newbie, I'm not fully appreciating what you're saying.
Sure, and I'm glad you asked that. Okay, so if you go to our public art webpage through the City of Ashland, you can connect with something that is managed by, and let me make sure I'm saying this right, Aaron, GIS. So, and GIS has actually sort of mapped different public art that is sort of part of the Public Art Commission's purview, some of which has titles and small explanations, some of which actually recently has been added thanks to the hard work of Peter Finkel, given more information. So if you go to that link, you find a good basic idea of public art in Ashland. There keeps being bounced around ideas of A, something new, B, continuing to use this, but how do we improve it? And so it's just one make sure that if anyone had ideas or was working on this, that we had a moment in time to talk about it. So does that help you, Ken?
Yes, thank you. I just needed the connection. I've seen that.
Okay. So any thoughts you might have?
I suspect we could put that on our goal setting when we do our study session and speak to that.
If you remember last meeting, we talked about this other platform, and I'm sorry, but the name of the site is escaping me at the moment, but it's a national public platform that some cities are using to showcase their public art. I am remiss in not digging into that a little further, but I will. And I think some of our challenge was what we are allowed to link to from the city site. Is that still an issue, Aaron?
Yeah, I actually just updated myself on that policy the other day because there were some questions about social media and whatnot. And the policy basically says, unless it's another partnering agency, that we shouldn't be linking to it. And we hold pretty tight to that. So if this platform gets further vetted and the commission decide they wanted to maybe go that direction, I could run that up the flagpole. I seem to recall it's a commercial site that would have
They're nonprofit. Okay. I'm trying to remember the name of the site. Laura, do you remember? I'll look. I did check into it. They're nationwide. They're nonprofit. They've been around forever, and their whole purpose is to promote art. And they get. I think they get money from National Endowment for the Arts, and among other places. So it seems like, you know, given that they're not commercial, it might be a little bit easier sell.
If you can give me the information, I'm more than happy to run that up the flagpole.
Okay.
I think it ties into the city's goals for tourism.
Yeah, that is getting me to thinking. I know of some sort of national site, and it might be that we're thinking of the same site, Sandy. I'm not sure because I can't.
Oh, Peter just posted. It's the Public Art Archive. They also have a site called Cafe Call for Public Art, which is a site that tells artists of upcoming opportunities to exhibit their work, and competitions and commissions. That site is run by the same organization, and I believe Peter's right. Public Art Archive. Yeah.
Yep. This is the one actually I'm aware of. It's under the auspices of what I perceive to be WESTAF, WESTAF, and they
have
a large number of public art. It's actually a really great site. I can keep it on my computer and send you all out the link to it, because, yes, I've seen this site. It would be curious. It is definitely looking at all across the U.S., and I don't see why we couldn't link Ashland onto that site. So let's think about it. Let's all look at it and continue to have a discussion and see what it would entail, something to think about. Any other thoughts at this point? Stanley, I'm glad you brought that up because it rang a bell. Okay, and then the other thing, I know that a couple of you have been meeting and about connecting with community. Destiny, Cassie, I know that you've had some conversations, and I'm just not sure if I, when these have happened, or if you wish to report and think about some ideas, I'm just leaving space in our meeting for you to do that. And anyone else, for that matter.
I mean, for me, I definitely think the way to go and not necessarily signing up for this, because I do think it requires someone who could be able to do it frequently and consistently, but some sort of social media platform, I think, would be super awesome just to highlight the, and I know we have the website that shows like the existing public artworks, but really to get the community, the Ashland community, the Southern Oregon community involved, and just any upcoming ones that we can and are able to share, or if we do any events in the future, but also something that just like highlights what PAC has done in the past and what public artworks are currently out there. So I would be a big proponent of that. Not sure what all that would look like, as that would take manpower, but that's one of my ideas. I think that we can probably go in a couple of different directions too, in terms of like events when we feel like that might be appropriate. But Cassie, maybe you have some additional thoughts.
Destiny, it would be fun to get together with you and share thoughts too. I think social media is a great idea, and it would take some looking into with Aaron probably about what we're allowed to do or what that would look like. I would assume Aaron, looking at the city of Ashland, has their own Facebook, but if the PAC had Facebook also, I'm not sure. We'd have to just look into that.
We don't. I'll send you all a copy of the social media policy, because I did just review it recently. It hasn't been updated since 2009, so it's a little long in the tooth. But basically it provides for, I think it's going to be a big ask in light of what's written in that policy for us to have Ashland Public Art as a Facebook page. As I was explaining to Jennifer in email, you know, the difference is it's okay for you to post on public, on your social media, hey, check out this cool public art thing. What's not okay is to post, hey, I'm a commissioner on the PAC, come check out this cool public art thing. So I'll send out the policy and you can review it. It is pretty stringent.
Okay, that's great to know. Thank you. Well, I have a slew of ideas about connecting with community that I kind of rambled through last week. And it's why I was hesitant to volunteer to help with the plaque, because I really would love to, when we do our goal setting, like Ken said, talk about where our specific goals are, and also rein myself in and pick really one thing to focus on, or one thing and one smaller thing. So I'm looking forward to talking about that more. And I know the electrical boxes was one idea that I had discussed with Peter, and we talked briefly about the murals on the fences and if there's a way to figure out how to make those something that could be allowable and not, you know, illegal in the community. And so I think, and presentations to schools. Jennifer, just, I'm going to backtrack for a minute. I would be curious, when you're doing a presentation of the Power of Public Art, if you would let us know, because I would love to come and observe you, so that if there's an opportunity to do it again later, there's some continuity in how we're doing those presentations. And I may or may not be able to come when you're doing it, but if I could, I would love to show up.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so the community involvement is definitely where I'm excited also, and I'm looking forward to goal setting with everybody and figuring out which directions we really want to focus our attention.
That's a great idea, Cassie. When I had Ken come to the Ollie presentation, there was a little bit of we're only having this for our members. So maybe it would be that I'd have a guest commissioner. I don't think that, depending on the group, us all showing up. Well, actually, we all can't show up because that would be a meeting. So maybe like I'll put it out, and whoever is first come, first serve, interested in coming to a meeting, that would be great. I'll ask about that. Good point.
Just to jump in, Jennifer does a really wonderful job, and that was a great Ollie presentation.
Thanks, Ken. That was sweet of you. Other thoughts? So Cassie, you have some great ideas, and let's kind of, we'll keep, maybe we're going to have to just do a whole slew of brainstorming and really think about what's important to all of us. And we'll do that in the months to come. The other thing I just wanted to go back to, I am always curious about this social media platform. I'm coming to Aaron again. AKA, I'm with Destiny. I don't have time to do it, but it does intrigue me. As a member of CERT, I know that there is an Ashland Fire and Rescue Facebook page. Yeah, so I'm confused on why different commissions can't have pages where there is just a piece of art and information put onto the page on occasion, once a week, twice a week, that is just something people can look at rather than I guess I'm just kind of fighting for why is that a problem.
I'm curious too.
So not me as the person who would be the, I guess you'd be the master of that site, Stanley.
If the policy was written in 2009, it seems pretty clear that it needs to be reviewed and updated. I'm not sure what the process is for that, but, you know.
Right. I mean, are we, obviously what's happening here is that we're challenging something that maybe has to go be challenged further up. Aaron.
Yeah, so I actually just pulled it up. I was getting ready to email this to you all, but what it says is regarding additional city Facebook pages. Departments desiring Facebook pages separate from the city account must submit a request in writing to the administration department detailing the following: the target audience and the purpose of the separate page and reasoning why the main Facebook page does not meet the needs of the department. In general, requests for specialty accounts will be denied unless the account is needed to reach a special audience not currently served by the city's needs.
Well, doesn't sound quite as daunting.
That doesn't seem like a very high hurdle, really.
So it sounds like I'm hearing the commission wants me to inquire about that with administration.
Yes.
But also maybe Aaron, would you like for someone? I mean, if we looked just to, you know, put it out there, if we look at our powers and duties. So the powers and duties of public art, which is on the website, it tells us there's listed, I think, 1 through 8 things there, and all of which are things like sharing information with the citizens, educating the citizens, you know, things like this. I don't see why we couldn't suss out a few of our powers and duties into the explanation why. If you wish for someone to maybe, like the questions you just asked, if anyone's willing to maybe write a couple of sentences there that then you could put forward, Aaron, rather than making you do that work.
That'd be great.
I don't know if anyone's willing to do that. Destiny, awesome. So if you could send that form to Destiny,
yep.
Then you're welcome to like kind of try it out, and then you can send it to me if you want a second opinion, and then we'll give it to you, Aaron, and you can send it up the chain.
Fine. I'll do that.
Of course, then, once we're going to approve for a page, the reality of that Facebook page comes in. So we need to be serious about that. You know, and this brings into mind some interesting other things to consider. So just put this in there as a little pin. Like, okay, so now we have a Facebook. We don't really, I mean, I agree with the city. I agree with Aaron. This is not a place for me to have like my political platform, but I would think it would be great for someone to feature an artwork there once or twice a week to keep it active. And so this is a thing to think about. What if that is an intern? I don't know if they're allowed to do that, like an SOU student or an AHS student who would then be the one to do that. Stanley.
I agree with everything. We should do it. We should put artwork up. But to hope that you are going to be immune from political dialogue, it will not happen. You will get a lot of hate. You know, there's a lot of people that don't support public art. They think that money should be spent elsewhere. And, you know, that sort of feeling generate other people to chime in on other issues besides public art, and it's just going to happen. We should think about that and make sure that we're willing to deal with it, because it will happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good point. Yes,
So that is a very good point, Destiny.
Yeah, I love the idea about an intern or someone who's interested in art in the community. I do have experience. I run a few social media accounts. That's why I wasn't super keen to just sign up for that right away. But if we could find an intern or someone, I would be happy to like oversee it. I know we're not there yet either, but I'm assuming we'd probably want to just streamline some, I don't know, policies in terms of what do we respond to? What do we not respond to? What are we looking for in terms of what we are posting? So I'm just signing up for lots of things today. I must be in a good mood, but I would be happy to take the charge on that if we get to that point.
Great. And Laura?
I was just thinking, I'm not on Facebook. I'm not exactly sure how that works. However, I do have an Instagram account. And what I am imagining is perhaps once or twice a week, like you had mentioned, a post, you know, describing whatever it is for what we have around town. And I know that you can turn off the comment, you know, the ability to comment on Instagram. So I'm not sure how that works on Facebook, but I could see that being just, you know, a simple post every week, just for someone to look at and leave it at that.
Yeah, I think you can turn off the comments on Facebook, but I'm wondering why we would want to. I mean, it seems like the whole purpose of social media is to have interaction from the public. But like I was saying before, you have to take the good with the bad when you do that. So.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I was just maybe imagining, you know, an informational page of, here's what art is around town. But if it will, you know, that's a discussion. If it's important to allow comments and like you said, take good with the bad.
Right. We all know that Facebook and Instagram easily work together. So this would prefer to be in both places, whether or not it has comments or not. So that's very doable. And I think actually Instagram is great. It is more for the artistic minded. So I think what I'm hearing is that let's go ahead and apply, because I think that's going to take some time anyway. So Destiny, you make a quick little idea of what you answering those questions. We'll put it up the chain because it might take a while to get approved. And in the meantime, as a commission, we can sort of think about how this even can happen because it might take a half a year for it even to get approved for all we know. And then we do need to figure out who would man it, what, who reacts to what, or do we not at all, or do we keep comments on, off? All of those things could be decided at a later date. So let's just go with it and see where we can, at least if we can get approval, that's one hurdle. Sound good?
Yep.
But good thoughts. Yes. You bring in the happy stuff and there's also. I think that for me, I do know, actually, I take that back. I know at the beginning of the meeting, there were a couple of questions that you, Ken, have wanted to talk about, and I've already forgotten what they are. But maybe Aaron can remind me from the minutes or from early in the agenda, or Ken, you can just tell us what you wanted to talk about.
There are really two things. One, for Aaron, I guess I understand that the Chamber of Commerce made a presentation to the City Council based on a study of the city and its values and that sort of thing. And the conclusion reported in the paper was we're a place of culture. I wonder if we can get a copy of that so we can tailor our proposals going forward with what the survey showed target markets might be, all towards the eye of tourism as one and culture as another.
I would suggest that you reach out to the Chamber of Commerce for a copy of that presentation.
Yeah, I will try and do that. I always stopped by, they were closed. Anyway, so I'll do that. Second, I mentioned, and I think it fits into the community outreach, I had occasion to go to the opening of the Schneider's show, which I would encourage everyone, and I would encourage you to get a docent so that they can talk with you about what is the context for the presentations in the art. It's really good. And Jennifer, I know, was in an online presentation. She could add some more. In that connection, I met Scott Malvern, and we talked. And we talked about the possibility for partnerships with the Public Arts Commission, the Schneider, and the Ashland Gallery Association. So I would just refer to what Jennifer has already talked about, which is that I think it's item F and item G in our charter in the code says we will reach out and we will form partnerships. That's simplistic. So I'd like to propose, if this is the right time or at some point, that we establish a liaison with both those organizations. And it would be a person probably to attend their monthly meetings and to work on common goals, but in the idea that partnering with other organizations gives us more strength for what we want to accomplish as a Public Arts Commission. Would that be an appropriate thing at this juncture to make such a recommendation?
Well, I think... let me just make sure I'm understanding you. You're suggesting that someone on the commission is a liaison to the Ashland Gallery Association and the museum and attend their meetings and foster relationships with these groups.
Exactly. And share information on the process.
Okay. And so that's a big responsibility for someone. And maybe it is... I'm opening it up to comment right now, but I'm also saying this can be something we can think about and decide next time if we want to kind of think about it a little bit. But anyone have any comments or responses to Kendall's idea? Yes, Stanley.
I think that's something we've talked about before. And I think what's prevented us from doing it in the past is it's a pretty big commitment for somebody to attend every meeting. But I would also suggest that it might be important to expand that kind of engagement to a more regional reach. I know the Grants Pass Museum of Art is a fantastic organization, and they have really good shows. And I know their director, and you know I think that they would love to have a little bit more of a regional dialogue about some of these issues. So, you know, we could start locally, but I think we should be thinking about reaching out to organizations in Medford and Grants Pass. But, you know, like I said, we're small, we're all really busy, and it takes a commitment. No.
That makes some good points. So this is, from what I'm hearing from you, Stanley, it is beyond Ashland would be great. Like, what if, I'm just going to kind of plant seeds and I think about it. If we had a person who is strictly working with Ashland institutions and, as you're suggesting, Ken, going to their meetings that is sort of insular to Ashland. What if this person was a liaison to arts, Jackson Josephine County arts organizations, and rather than maybe being tied to one or two, maybe they become someone who attends when they're able a variety of these groups and tells a little bit about what we do and learns what they do, so that it's a little more outward facing and also then it's more of a constituency of a variety of places and people. I'm attracted a little more to that idea, but I understand where you're coming from, Ken. Stanley. Can't hear you.
One way to do that would be to schedule a meeting. Just identify what organizations we might want to engage with and get them all together in a room and have lunch and sort of talk about things like that rather than try and go to each other's meetings. I mean, it'd be a good way to gauge what sort of interest these other organizations would have in connecting with us and trying to have a little more regional dialogue. And if we think that's a good idea, maybe we should take the initiative to schedule and organize that meeting.
Other ideas, thoughts, just as we start this discussion? Like I said, I don't think we need to solidify it today. Anyone else wish to chime in? I think it's a great idea, Kendall, and I think we should all maybe think about it and talk in the next month or two, and we can come to some ideas. Of course, to me, I must say that just sparked an interest to me, Stanley, what you just said. In good old real time, when we could actually be in a room, I would love to have scones and coffee and tea.
Yes.
Mini conference for a half a day with organizations across our county or double counties.
Right.
Maybe reach into like Shasta or Northern California and like actually have some dialogues around the table and have a set agenda, a little sharing. I've done that in the capacity at SOU. At one point, I was sort of a liaison to the teachers in the Rogue Valley who were teaching art, and some of their students were taking, what do you call that, like SOU credits. So I would organize sort of a half day get together with those teachers to come to SOU so that I can learn about their schools and they could learn about SOU, and we could sort of think about the best ways that these, you know, how to serve our communities. So that was really fun to me to get to know a whole bunch of people at one time. Yes. So that kind of sounds fun to me. And entirely different from what you're suggesting, Ken. So I think that, but also solved quickly, or you're creating friendships or dialogues quickly in that one time. So let's keep these thoughts, let's percolate this for a little bit, and we'll put it on the agenda in the future. Any other thoughts or questions or comments you guys wish to have?
I think we could talk about it further, certainly at our goal setting. I'm really enamored with the idea that both Stanley and Jennifer are talking about doing it on a regional basis. To me, that's a different set of relationships. And the origin of my thought actually came out of conversations with Scott, so that we talked about more specific projects and activities that would be local. As you all know, the museum has a regional and national outreach, so it fits in with the other aspect of it. But but key to it is building relationships that are the basis for going forward. If we all work in our silos, that's where we stay.
Absolutely.
So let's break out of silos.
Sounds great.
I'll bring it up again at the goal setting.
Great. Any other questions or comments? Well, I think we've had a great meeting. I'm excited, and I wish you all well. And I hope you have a good day.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you all.
One last item, if I could, please.
Mm-hmm.
is there anyone here who objects to me sharing your emails individually with Peter Finkel? He likes to send out updates to his articles. And, you know, I'm more than happy to handle forwarding along. But if no one here objects, I'd like to just provide him with your email addresses so he could send those out directly.
Yeah, that works.
Fine. That's fine.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Hand up. Does everyone agree to that? If you agree.
Yeah, he's got my.
Okay. So now Aaron is off the plate.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, you guys have a great day.
Take care.
Thank you.